Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host.
Underpants.
Sitting in with Underpants. There's a select group that actually understands what that reference is. And for all of you, the handful of you, you're welcome. Anyhow, I'm sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And wow, here we are. Another Thursday, time for another show. And I know I say it every week, but it's true. I'm super happy to be hanging out with all of you. You all rock. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm getting ready to move and getting ready for a business trip next week and all of that and work, you know, like the usual. But it's good. Like, the weather is nice. I mentioned in the pre-show I was in the Czech Republic in Bad Wives, at least let's say the English name for it. It has a different name in the Czech Republic. But I was there. It was really nice. A little trip with friends of mine. And yeah, it's been no, Ben, not bad wives. No, we're good wives. You should know that.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's been a good week.
Awesome.
And I'm looking forward to the Pride Parade in Vienna that I'm attending for the first time on Saturday.
Very cool.
Never been, and I've seen last year there were about 250,000 people. So
that's so cool. Awesome. Yeah, my move is in progress. Although from what you can see in camera shot, you can't tell.
Nothing changed.
which is exactly how it will be for every show that I'm doing between now and next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So the next time you see me on The Big Show, unless I am using a photograph as a fake background, what you will see behind me is different. Now, what exactly you see? Well, that depends. If all goes well next Wednesday, then I'll have working internet at my new place. It'll switch over without any problem, but we'll see. So you might see my new place in the background. If it doesn't, then I'll be using someone's office space.
You might be in an undisclosed location.
I might be in an undisclosed location. Yeah.
Which in Colorado usually means somewhere under a mountain.
Actually, yes.
Or in a trailer park.
Yes. Jeff will be coming to you on a street corner with his laptop.
Right. Either that or from a special office somewhere in Cheyenne Mountain.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could also be off-world if you're in Cheyenne Mountain.
I could be off-world. You know, I love the whole thing that the Stargate is at Cheyenne Mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Though every planet seems to look like British Columbia.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, strange.
With the rare exception of them, it's kind of looking like, I don't know, Egypt or something. A lot of sand.
AKA Washington.
Yep.
You mean like Star Trek, or you still at the Sonora Desert, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad, he worked for the federal government for most of his career. And there was one day where he comes home from work and he tells us that he had been in Cheyenne Mountain.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, tell me all about it. And mm-hmm. he says, no.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and after that, he disappeared and was never seen again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was like Darren and Darren too. It was so weird. We never spoke about how the person changed, but it was the same character. That's how it works. For those of you that don't get the Darren 2 reference, look up the cast of the U.S.
Bewitched.
Sitcom Bewitched.
Yeah, I mean, there's also the option that he had a snake in his head. So who knows?
Right. Or someone with in a black suit with a little pen said, look at this.
Oh, true. Yeah, it's also possible.
Who are all you?
Right?
I don't know.
I don't know. Right. Maybe we should tell them.
Yeah, maybe. Anyhow, oh my God, we haven't even done anyone else for introductions.
Nope.
Ian, how are you?
Me? I am great. I've had a good week this week. I've been down to London for a couple of days seeing a colleague. It was good to catch up with him. We even took in a West End show, went to see Cabaret. That was fabulous, fun. Actually. That was really, I highly recommend if you're in the West End, go and see Cabaret. That was superb. Everyone knows I'm not a particular musicals fan, but I'm realizing now as I get older, I think the answer is that I must shut up and say, yes, get me a ticket, I'll come along. Because invariably I sit down and I have a good time. So I think the answer is it's all preconceived notions in this old grey head of mine. So I've now vowed to be like the old movie, a yes man. Every time someone asks me, do you want to do this? Yeah, go on then.
I think
that's going to be the wise move. Rather than being grumpy old sod. So yeah.
Decision.
And it the is. World and the UK is lovely and warm. This is, we're having our week of summer. It'll go away soon and then we'll get rain again, but we're having our week of summer. This week it has been high 20s all week. Next week looks to be the same with thunderstorms, so I can't complain.
Wow.
Everybody does, but I shan't. Other than I was
That's a very British thing. <so. Yeah.
laughs> Who can't complain?
That's German.
Oh, no, they can complain. That's German. Exactly. German is, I can complain.
No, a German compliment is when they can't complain.
That's really funny.
Literally. Like, I mean, I'm not even kidding.
No, I
in German, they say, da kann man nicht meckern. And that's when they say, can't complain.
So the next time I am around someone who's actually from Germany and they say, can't complain, I should feel very honored.
Hell yes. Yeah, there's also the other one. Like, not complained is praise enough. It's also very important when you work with Germans to remember, like, if they don't, like, you know, for Americans especially, that's like, they're not used to that. My experience, at least. So, yeah, if a German doesn't say anything, that's a good thing.
Okay.
And as I work with many of my colleagues around the EMEA, I will completely agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
My German friends are great, but yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had a couple of times, like, American, like, employees of mine, they asked, like, whether my boss, because he was German, whether something was wrong, if they had done anything wrong. And I'm like, no, he didn't say anything, so it's all good.
That's when he says thing, you've got to worry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all this discussion about Germans and Germany has reminded me I need to say, Ben, how are you?
Hello, Ben.
Can't complain?
Yes. Pretty good. I may not have thunderstorms like Ian, but I do have an air quality alert.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, there's a big red dot just over Dubuque.
Ooh.
With outdoor plans, they're canceled.
Mm-hmm. You know, Ben, you what you should fire. Do? Come visit me.
Yes.
So, have someone send a big fat jet and private jet and send you over.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, why should we let you in? My great grandpa's from Vienna. Oh, come on.
Oh, they wouldn't even ask. I can tell you that. They wouldn't even ask. They're like, oh, welcome. This is not America. People would just say, oh, welcome. Come in.
Yeah, welcome on.
Yeah, we see Ellis Island has screwed up your last name.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it has. All right. Well, then I guess we should do some stories. Oh, wow. Ben, you were on top of it.
He's almost
cheating. like half an hour ago.
Yeah, well, maybe if I had looked at the chat at any point, yeah, I would have seen that.
The stuff.
Ben, tell us about your preemptive story.
Well, speaking about things that might improve air quality someday. Okay. You know, on this show that we tend not to be the biggest fans of a certain South African media business mogul.
Well, to be fair, the production quality on his vehicles is questionable.
Yeah. Thank you for screwing up my gag, Jeff.
I'm sorry. Anyway. edit out what I said.
Yeah, the one place where Elon Musk has not been screwing up his business is Tesla. In fact, Tesla has started to do something that I don't think we thought we'd be seeing for a while. They have been getting most of their competitors on their page when it comes to the NACS electrified connector that Teslas use, Ford will use, and GM will use. Do you know who else is looking at that connector? Stellantis, who for Europeans is Peugeot and Fiat, and to Americans is Chrysler, as well as Mercedes-Benz, mm-hmm. who is Mercedes-Benz to everyone.
So we may finally have a standardized EV charger plug.
Yeah, yeah. And the benefit to the NACS charger, yeah, the its competition tends to be huge and bulky. Mm-hmm. NACS tends to be about the same size of as a standard gas pump.
Doesn't NACS potentially charge faster too?
I think the other one has the higher bandwidth, but practical bandwidth, NACS is in far more places because of Tesla's excellent supercharger network.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, there's a simpler reason. It is cheaper. It might not be as, let's say, as scalable and all of that, but it is cheaper.
Yeah.
Cheaper to produce. The cables are not as unwieldy, all of that. And that makes it, I think, for a lot of people, for now at least, superior.
Yeah. And quite frankly, it also means in the future, it sucks for the early EV adopters. We're going to get to the point where we have a standardized charger
in North America.
Yeah, in North America. I can't say this will be it will be this way in other places, but quite frankly, because of U.S. auto laws, those other places' cars will get crushed if they come to our shores anyway.
So, no, not necessarily. I mean, we've already seen it with some other manufacturers. They have a European version and they have an American version, and like,
yeah,
that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Elon, when he originally, I just checked to make sure my memory wasn't kidding me here. He did open source the patents for the cars, so all of that IP is free for the manufacturers to dip into and take, modify, use, and so I mean, why not take the good bits? So yeah, if the socket design is a particularly good one, the chargers are very prevalent for a manufacturer. It makes a huge amount of sense. I've already got a network of chargers out there. I don't need to go make my own. Mm. I've got a compatible socket that is freely used and it's regularly manufactured. Yeah. That makes huge sense to me. It doesn't matter. The USB,
honestly,
of cars. You know,
not really, because I mean that's the difference between Europe and the US. In Europe, there was a standardization, and it wasn't the manufacturers. The EU standardized on CCS quite early on and said this is the standard that we're going with, and everybody had to comply, and everybody did, and even Tesla does it here. In the US, there was no such standard, so you had basically the like Tesla own invented version, because they're kind of wasn't anything, or well, kind of, I think they also wanted to invent something themselves. I think Type 2 technically existed. But then, like all the other manufacturers that were already in Europe, they brought CCS over because they were like, well, Like, if there is no standard, then we can just decide. I mean, and we can't use a supercharger because that's Tesla's own thing. So we have to build our own network. Then we can just use the same tech that we already know and already have. So there was no standard. But now it's turning out, I mean, as Tesla is opening up their superchargers more and more, there's maybe an incentive to switch.
Yep. And quite frankly, for Tesla, this isn't all altruistic.
No.
Because, yeah, they can make a hell of a lot of money off of people with other automakers on their supercharger network.
Well, that, ooh, yeah. And they have regulatory pressure to open that up if they want to open more supercharger points, and they want maybe also to get some federal funding for them or if federal or local funding or state or whatever, they might have to open it up to more manufacturers, and then it makes sense if they already have the right plug, because otherwise, and that's what Tesla had been struggling with, I think, or still is a little bit, they had to put in CCS to their superchargers or provide some kind of like adapter. Or something. Yeah. Mm. And I don't think that is in the interest of Tesla.
No.
Yeah. Well, and for consumers, I hear people in the US talking about how they have their EV and a bag of adapters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, getting rid of that.
It's like your laptop. You got a bag of dongles, yeah. So you can make your car. You make your car connect to the charging point when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as I said. Yeah, thanks, Ian. You put the link in, and you see it here. Like, I mean, CCS technically, I think, is superior to the like Tesla adapter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But doesn't matter. I mean, it's not that much different that you say, oh, like one is so much better, and like you should switch. Serial versus USB or something.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's VHF versus Betamax.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Well, at least in the US, CCS is Betamax, or at least mm-hmm. heading that way.
Looks like it, yeah. But that could change. I said, I think technically, like the way it is designed, CCS is more versatile, more flexible, and has more like room to grow.
Yeah.
Tesla would have to change a lot of things to go to higher voltages and so on. Doesn't mean they can't.
Because CCS can
work has to be done. Yeah.
No, kilovolt rather. Not kilowatt, kilovolt.
So that's the big difference. Doesn't mean that Tesla can't do it. Doesn't mean Tesla won't do it. It just means they would have to do it.
Well,
yeah, it's interesting.
It would be nice to see a standard.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it would be nice to see it as a universal standard and not just a country-specific standard.
Yeah, but
whatever
I think...
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think if that happened, it would be CCS. I'm like currently, at least, I would say that's most likely. Then Tesla would have to switch.
Yeah,
which makes sense. I mean, especially considering the EU already standardized on CCS.
The EU already did it, and even in the US, I mean, there's now two manufacturers that are using the Tesla one, and there's like, I don't know how many they're using in CCS.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, but I mean, not going to happen anyway.
CCS plug.
Yeah, we know not going to happen. Like in the current political climate in the US, there's no standard coming.
No. I remember a few years ago, there was talk about creating a standard in the US. And I don't remember what the standard was, but there was a lot of complaints about how it would be limiting.
Was that CHAdeMO maybe?
Maybe.
That was the third one.
It was like inefficient for charging. And it was like the absolute wrongest choice to make for a standard. And then that fizzled out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool.
Yeah, also cool.
Also cool is... But Ian.
No, I've got a story there.
Ian got in first.
I got in there already.
Yeah. I waited. So Ian, your story.
Yeah. So I've got a story from the Reg about Microsoft for a change and their self-repair policy. The Surface device has now been around for 10, 15 years. Really neat, really compact, high appliance type technology, but incredibly difficult to repair. Some of them are. I remember seeing videos of people using Dremels to cut the backs open to get in to change memory and disk drives and things first generation models. And with the right repair movement getting bigger and bigger and getting more and more traction in the US and in Europe, which is only a good thing in my view. I mean, this is my bread and butter. This is where I started in my world of IT, was plugging new bits back into old computers and things. And so now that they're starting to provide parts so you can repair your old device. So for the later models, and I think they're working with iFixit for this as well, which is a good thing because iFixit are a great company to work with.
Yeah, just like Google.
I've got a good supply of bits so they can actually build and repair, and you can actually keep your gear going because most of that stuff is still quite good. Even the older mid-generation Surfaces are still, if you want a capable Windows tablet, it's still a very good device. It's still Windows, mind, but
better than Android.
Yeah, better than Android. Yeah, it's still, I mean, it's still a very, from a touch point of view, to have a Windows device that's compact as that, it's still very compelling.
Mm.
And you can plug it into a screen and then you forget it's a tablet completely altogether and then unplug it again when you're on the move. I saw people use them on the train the other day, so it's very much still a thing that's being used by people. We haven't gone to thin laptops or people are sat there with iPads writing on them as much yet. So only a good thing. Very pleased to see that right to repair stuff is finally starting to come through more.
Yeah,
because that's only a good thing. It's only a good thing.
Yeah, I fully agree. And iFixit seems to be on the forefront on that because, I mean, they've partnered with Google, I think, on the Pixel line, now Microsoft on Surface. I think there was another one. Maybe it was Samsung.
Valve with Steam.
Logitech. And the other one they're also pairing with Logitech so you can mend your mouse. So if you've got one of those expensive MX Masters and MX Anywheres, they're now starting to sell parts so you can replace the wheel, you can new feet and all that kind of stuff. And that's superb.
And a good thing for iFixit because, I mean, that means that they have a lasting business. Like, it's not we take a part sheet and we post repair manuals and hope
they've been
buy something.
Yeah, they've definitely gone to a point now where they've been beyond the here we tear stuff down, here's pictures of it, and repair guides. Yeah. They've got a real, I mean, he's done incredibly well, the guy who started it, in terms of setting up a business and setting up and then turning what was originally kind of expose journalism into a real business with the takedown guides. 10 years ago,
I remember. About 10 years ago, they started that. I remember Macworld in San Francisco, where they were very actively advertising that they're now selling also kit and stuff. So
it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
I fix that screwdriver kit right next to me.
Yeah, me too. Well, it's in the box behind me because I already.
I have an iFixit battery in an old iPod. My iPod. Which model was it? It's the one that has the four buttons across the top above the scroll wheel. It's the first one that had the dock connector. Still actually a really good iPod. But when the battery died, instead of pitching it or recycling it, I went to iFixit, got the whole kit, and put a new battery in the iPod.
I mean, and again, from my last week's pick about Vera Tools being buying good quality hardware and stuff like that, for small electronic type toolkits, the iFixit kits are second to none. But do buy iFixit and not the cheap Chinese stuff that you'll see very cheap on Amazon.
I tried that once. I ordered I ordered one and I got it and I opened it and I closed it and I sent it back. And it was the highest rated ones on Amazon.
Yeah, I bought a set. Opening the bottom of one of those Macs where you need that stupid pentalobe screw, it stripped the screwdriver before I got all the screws out the bottom. That went in the bin.
Wow.
I found a better set that got decently hard. Because quite the problem for those that don't know is the bits aren't hardened very well. So if you're going to put a bit of, if you need to put just a little bit of torque to get the screw to come loose, all it does is tear up the end of the cheap bit. So the advice is buy good quality. I bought a better quality set, which has been really good since then. Weirdly, really good sets come from our good old German retailers of Lidl and Aldi. Their mid-aisle toolkit are surprisingly good for the twice a year you need the tool.
Yeah,
when you need the thing twice a year, they make a good thing that you can leave in your cupboard. It hasn't cost you very much money. You can take it out and you can go and you'll still be able to still work, and it'll do the thing you wanted it to. And and that's really all. It wouldn't survive in a toolbox or a professional tradesman of any kind, but it would leave it will for a home user. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah,
better, it's than, not the, an better accident. Than the junk you can buy, the Chinese junk you can buy in this. In the on the market and in the supermarkets and stuff like
but
that.
I don't think the timing of this is an accident. Service devices, if I used Windows, that's the direction I would probably go. They're very well made, very well thought out. And next year, when we have more competitive ARM chips for Windows, they're going to be increasingly popular in the business and home market because quite frankly the hardware inside of them has not been able to match what Microsoft is doing.
I mean there's the other option that this is preparing for the end, so that they have all the like tools and bits out there, so that when they shut down the Surface line in a couple of years, like there's a healthy repair business so they can last and companies don't complain about it too much. That's the other option. I think it could go either way. So
they've sold a lot into the corporate world, particularly the Surface line again. And the corporate world expects to be able to repair care.
Yeah.
Expects lifetime of service stuff. Some of the stuff that they keep for longer than 3 years, at least they expect if something goes wrong with it, it's repairable. The joys of, and again, one of my old recommendations that I stand by, if you want a cheap laptop, Amazon, look for ex-corporate laptops.
Yeah.
You'll still be able to get the parts. They're generally powerful enough for most day-to-day stuff you do at home. One that's 2 or 3 years old, a good old ThinkPad or a HP Elite book, you're in a cracking machine that will last you a couple of 3 years if you want something that's for undemanding tasks on Windows. But the same logic applies. You can get the parts. So you've got that. Now, for the Surface Gear, if we've got the parts, we can keep those machines running for another few years. That's fantastic in terms of just that, keeping that cycle of not throwing stuff out, keeping sustainable things. I'm all for this. This is all good.
I like this idea that you tossed out, Patrice, about Microsoft preparing for when they wrap up the Surface line. Am I misremembering? Or when Microsoft launched the Surface product line, wasn't it to be sort of like a spec product line, a reference product line, so that other device makers would know or be able to have ideas?
No, you are right. Yes,
what to make?
It was right. It was all. We were supposed to do this. Yeah. No. You're right. It was all designed originally. That first ones came out. They were reference architecture. They were. This is how we envisage Windows to be going. These are the devices. And other manufacturers have at it from this idea onwards.
Yeah, while the other manufacturers have stuck to the same plastic crap laptops.
Yeah, yep, pretty much.
Pretty much.
So in that sense, it would actually be a disappointment to see Microsoft wrap up the Surface line. And while I typically don't use Microsoft products in my job, every Microsoft hardware device I've ever owned has been like top of the line quality, like really good stuff.
Yeah. But I think the problem is, I mean, if you look in the corporate market, It's dominated by, I would say, two players currently. One is Dell and one is Lenovo.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Like on the corporate side, at least. And Microsoft, I mean, sure, they do sell some services to some companies, and I'm sure there's a couple places, but it's not a big penetration. So I don't know like how popular or how successful it is from Microsoft's perspective, from their own ambitions. So it could go either way. Either they're preparing to really push it and really get it out there and take over from the others and say, hey, like what we have is so much better. Or they're saying, well, didn't work. Let's do something else. Which they've done in the past on other products. So, like,
the surface in the corporate world has always been that you've been a good boy, you can have a new laptop kind of trait. Very much the case of if you start out, you'll be getting whatever junk they normally throw out by the things. But if you move the management layer up or two, quite often when your laptop renews, you might get the option of a Surface. You do a bit more traveling and things. And that's how it's tended to go.
Well,
there is a smaller penetration just because they're not being given X1s or whatever, like I've got down here.
Mostly what I've seen is it's been like upper management or like somewhere in the management chain. People who were powerful enough to request what they wanted, and they didn't request the Mac. That was usually the point where, like, I would see a Surface, but like the normal average employee, not a chance.
Mm. Yeah, we've just opened our laptop policy now. When I get my laptop renewal, I might be able to get a Mac out of them, which would be nice. Get them too.
Yeah, as I said, HP is also in the mix, but as I said, it's usually Lenovo or Dell.
The only thing from the Surface ideas that the manufacturers went with, and that wasn't entirely a Surface-driven thing, was touchscreens and the occasional stylus, because there's some of the, my wife's work laptop has a stylus in and a touchscreen and things, and that's not a static, and those are kind of the small size Lenovo. And then, of course, there's always the good old Dells and stuff. But the pen sort of devices were played around with a bit, and Microsoft perfected it. I mean, if anyone for a corporate device that does pen and uses a corporate operating system, then those are the tool to use. There is I can't think of anything better. I can't think of anything else out there.
Well, iPads.
Works. there's the problem. It's now an Apple operating system, and it's not Windows. Corporate IT doesn't want to piss with that. Doesn't really want to mess around with dealing with Apple.
That has changed quite a bit. That is like on the level where that becomes like a talking point or a discussion point. They can make the decision, and whether IT wants it or not, they have to provide it. But that has changed quite. I mean, like a lot of IT companies these days have iPhones, and they're not scared of iPads anymore.
We have iPhones. Yeah. Or you have a choice. Yeah. Actually, you have a choice. I was offered a choice with my phone, whether I wanted Android or.
Yeah, Android. We have the same.
Yeah. I'm regretting not picking like that. Not getting an Android one in a way, just so I had one for reference.
A lot of the companies I was interviewing with back before I decided, screw it, I'll just be a freelance writer. Every company where I got to the end of the process and they were ready to issue me a laptop and then decided, never mind, we're not filling the position. Every single time it was all about which Mac they're going to send me, which I found interesting. It was never a thing about being able to choose between a Mac or Windows machine. It was just, they're going to send you a Mac.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. We, for example, ask, and you can choose, and you can even use Linux if you want to. Like, we don't care. Like, for developers especially. Especially, allow it.
I'd quite like that. Because I don't need corporately Windows, as long as I've got something like Romana so I can connect to an IDP session. I really don't need any help. I may, when my laptop gets renewed, think about that. I mean, to be honest, I've just abandoned it now, and I'm using my Mac because it's easier. But I'll get them to fund me a new Mac next time around when the renewal process comes around for my very lightly used X1. I'd have to suffer Windows 11 then.
So check this out. we've had all of these, or both of these stories have been like high tech kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the next story involves a lot of technology and no doubt will make a lot of people very excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely not the traditional tech story, but it's something I am very excited about. And it's, I think there's a like in the Venn diagram of like tech and sci-fi, there's a large overlap. And I think that's true for this. One of my all-time favorite sci-fi shows, Babylon 5, is coming back. And I mean, we've heard rumors about it in the past, like actually quite recently, like there was very little known about this. And then all of a sudden, like rumors surfaced that something is like, there's a movie coming. And then I think there was like a couple of months back, there was, hey, okay, it's going to be an animated movie.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got a release date and it is actually very soon. Like it's not, oh, it's coming in 2026 or 2025, whatever. No, like I think it's August, sort of the 13th, 14th, something like that. So very soon you will be able to buy it.
It's 14th.
14th, okay. All of like you will be able to buy it on like Amazon, on Vudu, also on Apple TV, on YouTube. And it is, what was it called? The Road Home. So Babylon 5, The Road Home. It's animated, as I said, but it got, like, it is a story in the storyline of the original show, in the universe of, kind of in the universe of the original show, because they do some, let's say, time travel-ish things or parallel, mm-hmm. like parallel universe things. So, I mean, what you can do when you have, Not that the original show didn't do it. Like there was a couple of episodes where they did some time traveling and stuff, and parallel universes and stuff like that. They've done it all, but it's a really good story, and like at least the trailer is really exciting, really cool. It's basically after the Shadow War, and Sheridan has left. Babylon 5, and then something happened, and that's kind of where it starts. And it has a lot of the original cast in it. So it's with the original crew, and most of the original cast, or I think all of the original cast that's still alive, is like part of this. So, you know, a couple of people died since the 90s. Back.
Yeah, like half the crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Bruce Boxleitner, for example, is there, Sheridan, Claudia Christian is Ivanova. Peter Jurassic is Londo, Lanier, Bill Mummy is there, and so on. Like Lockley is Tracy Sorkins, and so on. Like Little Alexander is aka Patricia Tallman. Like a lot of good actors. And I said, and the ones that they had to replace, they have new voice actors, like for Dylan, for Jakar, for Garibaldi, Franklin, Satras, if you remember him. He's part of the original thing. Also, Jeffrey Sinclair, the original Babylon 5 commander, will be there. Also,
Michael O'Hare, did he die or did he?
I think he died as well, Yeah, he died, I think. So he's also, like, not himself, but they found some really good, like, from the trailer, it looked like sounded actually pretty good. So, yeah. It's going to be an hour and 20 minutes, so it's not a massive three-hour movie, whatever. It's a nice hour and 20 minutes, like what some TV shows these days would do as an episode, basically.
Right.
And as I said, it's you can pre-order it for $20 on any of the platforms I mentioned. And I'm very, very much looking forward to it. You will also be able to buy Blu-rays if you want.
Yeah. So,
if you want to. Don't know why, but if you want to. I'm super excited about this. That's why I was like, it's not my cool thing. I want to talk about this.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, number one, I will get it because I live for the one, I die for the one. But
which one? It,
Dylan.
The one who was, the one who is, or the one who will be?
You know,
but
I get these references. I watched the entire series, and I get these references.
Yeah, so do I. And I have watched it less recently than all of you. Probably mm-hmm. last time I saw this was when it was exciting and on the telly. You know, so
I watch it every year or so. So
I have not seen it for a very long time. You are my, I break my rule of not watching old things that will then make me cross because it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Thing if back and watch it, I think I might leave again in my nice room of how sick and those kind of visions of how it was rather than how mm-hmm. it actually is. But yes,
it like the funny thing is when you rewatch it, it actually stands up to like the time still.
Does it? Okay.
The CGI was bad then. The CGI is still bad, so like that hasn't changed.
Done on Amigas. So,
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, you can tell, and like that hasn't changed. But other than that, it's still like it said, it's still the same.
The story writing was always good. I mean, that was one of the mm-hmm. big things, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, until season 5, basically, when they had to stick in a couple episodes because they had an extra season that they didn't know they would have. So
and then, but I have to say, as much as cool as it seems, I'm not a big fan of the animation style. Mm. It looks a lot like Star Wars Resistance.
Oh, yeah,
makes sense.
You know, I'm okay with a wide range of animation styles. If you use the right style for the story.
Mm-hmm.
To be perfectly honest, I think Babylon 5 would be better in kind of a more 3D animation mm-hmm. style. This is kind of seems like they're trying to make a story for adults with animation for kids.
I have a theory about that. So there has been rumors about a live action reboot or something of Babylon 5, and apparently it's being I mean, now it's a writer's strike and so on, and I have a feeling that this was kind of a test. They want to see how popular, like, because I mean, it's 1 hour and 20 minutes, it's not super long, it's animated, so like, I mean, sure, that costs some money, but it's mm-hmm. like for sci-fi especially not as expensive as live action, because mm-hmm. you don't need like complicated mm-hmm. sets and special effects and all of that. Like it's I mean, a lot of it even in sci-fi and live action is CGI, so this is much easier, and I think that's also why they choose not a 3D style. They want to keep the budget like limited and see if people like react to it and are excited. And if that works, then they might go ahead with, or might have more ammunition to sell the Babylon 5 reboot.
That makes sense.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, that's at least my, I mean, this came out of nowhere. Nobody was expecting it.
I remember, what were you saying? Just a couple months ago, a few months ago, mm-hmm. it was just suddenly, hey, we're doing this thing and we'll tell you more mm-hmm. soon.
Yeah.
I was expecting them to say, here's our production schedule-ish, and here's who's on board. And mm-hmm. here's the release date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Instead, we get, trailer. And by the way, it's out in 2 months.
Yes. And obviously, we have been working on it for multiple years
mm-hmm.
because it's done.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm thinking. This is kind of set, and I'm super excited. I mean, it's 1 hour 20 minutes, so like, I'm usually not into animated things. I don't like animated anything.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch this, and I'm gonna pay for it, like buy it, even though you could probably wait, and it's gonna be on the streaming services soon. Like, mm-hmm. I want this.
Yeah,
well, the only way to support it, isn't it?
Enjoys animation a lot. So the fact that it's animated, for me, that's not a big deal. And actually,
mm-hmm.
it makes this movie more intriguing to me, because mm-hmm. I'm really curious to see what they do with this universe in mm-hmm. an animated way. That's actually one of the big draws for me for this. I think everyone knows the first time I watched Babylon 5 was during the pandemic, and getting through, especially season 1, took a lot of moral support from Patrice.
Yeah.
And
please tell me it gets better.
And
yes,
Yeah, and then getting through season four, it was a very frustrating thing for me because I'm sitting here watching this and I'm like, there's some serious work that's gone into writing this. And mm-hmm. I would see things and experience things and I'm like, holy crap, this is amazing what they're doing. And at the same time, I'm like, what are you doing? Half of this feels like you're like, okay, we've got the thing we want to do, but it's not enough to fill the episode. So we'll just throw some other stuff in and just kind of make it happen. And then mm-hmm. every now and then there'd be an episode where I'm like, is this the one where everyone was hung over and just had to crank something out? Because what the hell? And then season five happened and I'm like, you wrapped everything up.
This does not exist.
Why? Just why? Yeah. And then Patrice explained to me that they didn't plan on actually getting that extra season, and so they had to scramble.
They had planned five seasons, and the story was set out for five seasons, and then the studio told them you only have four, so they tried to cram everything into fourth season.
Right.
And then I think when they started airing the fourth season, towards the end of producing the fourth season, they're like, oh, by the way, you get a fifth season. And then they had to kind of, I think they took the last episode of the fourth season and pushed it to the end. And then they had to kind of fill in and did all of that. So,
the series finale was literally filmed before all mm-hmm. of season five, which is why none of the guys from season five appear in it.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody had moved on for sure because they were like, okay, we have no job. So we're getting a new job and all of that. And then they had to kind of figure things out. And that's what studios do. It was always planned to be five seasons. That was the idea.
And ultimately it was, and it was weird how it ended up mm-hmm. being five seasons.
Yeah.
Well, I'm genuinely interested in watching this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I don't have to wait too long for it to be on streaming because purchasing it, as someone that I openly accept, I am an outlier in the Babylon 5 world, where for me, it's like, there's a lot of interesting stuff, and I really appreciate what they were doing with the writing and how they did these long tail payoffs.
Yeah, and basically no budgets. And
right. I mean, excuse me, it's amazing what they accomplished.
Yeah. They did more than I always said, they did more than Star Trek with probably like a tenth of the budget.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then yet they got the end, I'm like, okay, well, now I can say I've seen it and that was okay.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way,
the end is still my favorite. I cry every time. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. The best Star Trek ever made came to be because of the B5 pitch from JMS. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's not exactly a rumor at this point that as soon as it was pitched to B5 was pitched to Paramount, the Paramount executives went to Rick Berman and said, we want this in Star Trek.
Yeah, I think there was a settlement at some point. As far as I remember, there was a lawsuit and a settlement, and it kind of acknowledged, okay, yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, the stories for sure were different later on, and they developed in a different direction and all of it. It wasn't bad. Like, it was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just kind of the basic bones of it. Mm-hmm. You have a space station. You have the commander who becomes kind of a religious figure.
Yeah. You have some like people working in the shadows that then there's a big war at the end. Well, and he dies in the end, stuff like that.
It's interesting. Yeah. I mean, knowing what we know about the two series, and yet when I watched, I've watched a couple things, a couple different documentaries, and actually the Command Chair. It's the documentary series that Will Wheaton narrates, they talk about the whole B5 versus DS9 thing, and they talk about how no, even though there's these similarities, the whole B5 or DS9 thing was actually being developed independently when the B5 people showed up, and we didn't know what they were doing, and then we hear about it, and so we intentionally didn't watch anything they were doing because we didn't want to have a contamination thing happening. And and I'm not saying anyone is lying here. I'm just saying it's really interesting to watch these different tellings of how both these series came to be.
Yeah, yes. But they're too similar. Like the bones of them are too similar to. I mean, there must be some similarity. Like it's just. I mean, either they were developed from the same base idea that someone else had, like a third party, or one stole from the other. Instead, which is not like. I mean, they were both really good. So like, I don't care really. I'm like.
Yeah. Well,
I think at this point nobody cares. Season
one.
Yeah.
They both should have been canceled.
It's true. It's so true. Yeah. No, it's that I don't care. Like both of them were excellent. I really love both. And like I think at this point nobody cares anymore. It's like
pass. And I mean they may have developed from the same idea, but they went in very different directions. I mean, DS9 is very Star Trek in its core.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
As it should be.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, you can take the same idea and then take it different directions. It's just very interesting that there were quite a few parallels in the basics. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and as I said, I think, I mean, that's why the lawsuit, I think, was for sure correct.
Yeah.
That's it. Happens, past, doesn't matter. But as I said, I'm super excited. I really, really, really hope that Babylon 5 comes back. It, in my opinion, it never got a real chance.
No.
You know, if they
it may look good with, yeah, with 5, new stories.
I would be really interested in watching it just to see. The fact that I came away from the Babylon 5 that everyone loves, 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 and I was like, yeah, that was okay. Doesn't stop me from having a real interest in seeing what they would be able to do with a new version of the series, budget, and the writers who've already been through the whole series already and have a lot of additional writing experience under their belts. I mean,
and some new people probably that will inject new things.
Right. I mean, what could that be? I mean, to me, that's really intriguing. I mean, the whole
thing. Then you have Star Wars concept, where they tell in 9 movies the same story over and over.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, the show's already good. The TV show's like.
Yeah. I just hope they would do a Babylon 6 set a little bit further down the road than try to retell the initial story.
I really hope so, yeah. They shouldn't try.
So
I mean, it can work as it did in Battlestar Galactica. They like that worked really well.
Yeah.
But it could also backfire.
Which by the way, they basically said with Battlestar Galactica, the two series could have definitely happened at different point at different loops within the same timeline.
I have a B6 question because I've only watched these episodes once, so I don't have all the details set in stone in my brain. Is B6 the green one?
No, that's B4.
That's B4.
There is no B6.
Oh my god!
I don't think there is a B6.
I just realized the name reference.
Yes. No, I don't think there was ever a B6.
Yep.
So B5 was the last one. B4 was the green one that they went and visited, at least in flashbacks.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Basically, B4 went back to the past and became the Alliance base in the first Shadow War.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, B5 B5 was decommissioned and deconstructed shortly after Sheridan became president and left the station.
Okay.
And
no, right before he died, actually, that was one of the last things he visited. So
yeah.
So which one was the one that was basically completed but then sabotaged?
Yeah, that's
B3.
That's B3. Oh yeah, that one. Yeah, that just blew up.
There. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. The first three stations were destroyed.
Yeah,
you
four
know,
wasn't very
after
lucky.
That many
five was
destroyed,
the only one.
You would just give up and move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't. I mean, they're human beings, so.
Right.
Let's
yeah.
try another time.
It's
but
almost,
you know,
it's a Monty Python-esque thing. So we built the castle on a swamp, and that one sank. So we built another, and that one sank, and then the next one sank, but then the fifth one. That's
that
the
one,
yeah.
That one did survive.
Yeah.
I mean, got destroyed almost like a couple of times, but somehow made it.
Somehow made it. Yep.
Yeah. Just like TSO host.
Oh
yes.
My god. <you're so laughs> Seriously, you just completely stole my transition.
I'm a warlord. I just read your mind.
You did. I mean, seriously, I was working us right up to that specific point so that I had just the right lead in to say TSO host is sponsoring us, and it's absolutely awesome. Without their help, we would not be here. And why do I say that? Well, that's because the resources it takes to make a show happen every single week, or in our case, multiple shows happen every single week with a live stream, that takes a lot. And it's a level of resources that we wouldn't be able to manage on our own. So TSO host stepped up and said, hey, we love you, and we want to give something to the community. So we will give you the resources you need to be able to live stream every single week reliably. And here we are. And our live stream always just works. They're also giving us the hosting space we need so that we can have a place for the website to live. So you can go and check out what's on the website. And so there's a place for the show files to live so that you can watch or listen to episodes whenever suits you. TSO hosts, what they do is web hosting and help people buy domain names and just all the stuff that goes along with that. That's what they're leveraging for us. And it's just awesome that they're being so generous and being here and being part of our community. Now, what can we do to show our appreciation? Super easy. Just go out on social media, give them a shout out, thank TSO host for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. That's all you need to do. But if it turns out that you have come up with the most ridiculously awesome domain name idea, go to TSO host because they make it super easy to find your domain names and purchase them. And if you're buying a new domain name, you might as well go ahead and get some hosting to go with it, because I mean, that's part of the fun of having that awesome domain name, have the cool website to go with it. Let TSO host help you with that too. So get your domain name, get your web hosting, get all that stuff in your cart, and then add the discount code BTN20. And you will get 20% off your order simply because you're part of the BTN family. So thank you, TSO host, for being here and supporting us. And yeah, just thank you for being awesome. Go give them some online love. And now, since Patrice has already ruined my awesome segue.
Sorry.
That's okay. I mean, the fact that you knew where I was going, that's pretty impressive. Also impressive, the fact that every single week you are able to tell people all about the chat, and I am not. Patrice, can you please do that?
So maybe I'm a time traveler. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. So if you're not a time traveler, but you're listening to this live, like, which you can do, by the way, every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show, and every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. Sometimes showtimes will change. It's rare, but it happens. So check our website or social media, please, if you want to join. And then you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com to join our awesome live chat, where we put all the links for everything we're talking about, like the really cool restaurant in San Francisco we talked about in the pre-show, and the one in London, the Dosa World, that's also really good. We put all the like stories we talk about, the cool things, we have cool discussions, all of that. And yeah, it's just a really cool thing. So chat.britishtechnetwork.com and you are in. It's really easy. So let's say you are not listening to this live. You're listening in the recorded form through, I don't know, if like some AR, VR headset in the future, who knows? And you are, I would like to get to that link, what they talked about it, but I don't have a subspace temporal conduit to go back and do a live chat. What can you do? Well, there's a very easy way what you can do. You head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. So britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Put that in your web browser that hopefully still exists. Look it up on your Federation database or like whatever, however that will work in your time, who knows. And then there's usually a calendar that pops up, at least currently there is on our website, and you put in the recording date, which is the 15th of June, 2023, AC, after Christ, right? Yeah, whatever. It's not BC. I was almost said BC. So I'm like, no, wrong time. So whatever that is, whatever space time, whatever that is in the future, who knows? And if you do that, you will see everything that we talked about in our chat.
Awesome.
I don't know what the start date would be. I would have to calculate. Some negative number.
Right. Yeah. And there are websites out there that will do the calculation for you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep. Okay. Well, that means it's now time for cool things. And Patrice, you have the first cool thing in, and I am not surprised at all. Tell us about yours.
And I stole it. I almost picked something else, but then I remembered Strange New World season 2 just started airing today. I already watched the first episode of season 2, and it was really excellent, and that's all I'm going to say. It's a really, really good Star Trek show. If you don't know about it, there's already a full season out there on Paramount and I think some other places, probably at this point some other places at least. And it's like it's in the pre Kirk era, basically, before Kirk took over the Enterprise. And like it's kind of between Discovery and the Enterprise, kind of there in between there. Mm-hmm. It literally starts off Discovery before they do time travel, and then all of that. I hope. I mean, I'm spoiling something, but I mean, it's been a couple of years, so should be fine. So it's a really good, excellent show. It's more in the traditional shows where they have not a lot of overarching storylines. Mm-hmm. Some character development, so it's not the old school where the characters reset every week, which I really enjoy and I think is also appropriate for like these days. Mm-hmm. Like you can't just reset everything, but they still tell the individual stories. So like sometimes there's things that get tied together, kind of like a Next Generation, where sometimes there were some references, but mostly it's individual, really fun stories that happen. And yeah, so that's a really good show and highly recommended, and awesome actors like Anson Mount is like, I mean, really nice to look at. And what's his name who plays Spock?
Ethan Peck.
Ethan Peck, yes. Yeah, and I mean the actress that plays Nurse Chapel is really awesome. I really love her.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Like I'm really bad with names. Anson Mount was, yeah, it's Captain Pike and so on. So really, really good actors in the show. Uhura is really fun. Like it's just really great cast overall. I really love every single one of them, and it just feels so good. So head over to, I think it's Paramount Worldwide, Paramount Plus, mm-hmm. and you can watch it.
I watched the new episode this morning, too.
Nice.
And I fully endorse your assessment of the episode. It was really well done. I really mm-hmm. enjoyed it. And I'm very much looking forward to the continued character development
mm-hmm.
that we will no doubt be seeing throughout this season. So they're building on the character development from season one.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, they're doing this in a way where it's episodic. So
mm-hmm.
it's it's really well done.
Yes, it would be illogical not to watch it.
Indeed.
So true. Oh, there was one. No, I can't spoil it. There's one really funny scene where I think I laughed out loud. So if you've seen it, you will know which one.
I'm pretty sure I know which one.
Yeah.
I would like the ship to go now.
Now you see, you don't get chastised for spoilers because that's in the trailer.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't want to, because some people haven't seen it. There were other things in the spoilers that would be in the trailer that would have been really good, but I didn't want to spoil that because not everybody has seen the trailers either. So,
yeah, it's nice, yeah. And it I am, like I said, I'm very much looking forward to the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will make two very very vague spoilers,
mm-hmm.
but. Star Trek Discovery is referenced twice in this episode.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. All right. Man, you like going right up to that line and testing me, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome pick. Okay. That means that Ian, who is next, that's a tough act to follow.
I'll try. I've got a fun bit of inexpensive, I'm probably going to cost somebody some money today, retro goodness from Casio. It's their anniversary of being going for 50 years this year, and they're re-releasing a lot of stuff that came out in the 70s and the 80s and 90s, including this little guy that I picked up. It's the model Pop, which is the LF20W. Really simple little square watch, but it's got one of those funky little analog LCD display things, which you can read back in the 70s, but everybody 80s, but everybody wanted mm-hmm. one. You still can't read them now, they come 2023, but they look fun and it's got a nice digital display. They're very, very light to wear. You can get loads of fun colours. Though if you're in the UK at the moment, you can only get the black one. Otherwise, around the rest of the world, I think you can get some of the others. There's a really nice white one, there's a burgundy and a green. They're immense fun and they're about £30, $30. So I highly recommend grab one of those sort of thing you can chuck on your desk. It's waterproof-ish. Well, they will be these kind of ones anyway, because there's buttons on the side. It's got a stopwatch. You can time your cooking. It's got tells the time, just world time. Most things you need. And it looks cool and fun. So what more do you need?
Wow. I haven't seen one.
It looks really retro.
It's
very retro and fun.
It's very retro.
And wow. Incredibly, and as I said, like I said, it's that kind of price point, which isn't really cheap if you want to just get a chuck one on your side and have one if you catch your fancy wearing it. It's $30. £30, 30 euros, I imagine. Casio are pretty good at not making these sort of things too expensive. And they still do the Aliens one. Well, if anyone remembers the watch that Sigourney Weaver was wearing on the first Aliens movie, this strange, which basically two watches stuck together. There's the same design with the buttons on the front. They re-released one of those just recently for not very much as well. They're like about $40 or so to get that design to $1 million. Says Ben in the chat. But yes, it's all good fun.
Okay. Yep. The G-Shock A100WE1.
That'll be the guy.
Wow. Available for $48.
Yeah, so Yeah, the aliens one. I said it wouldn't be too much. They're not too much.
All right, there you go. Cool.
Xenomorphs not included.
Xenomorphs not included, lucky. But yeah, but that's the other classic retro. I'd recommend it. It's fair. I mean, I must admit, I bought one of those and I got rid of it. I didn't like it. It's a bit too cheap and tacky feeling in my view. But if it floats your boat, they're not very expensive to try one out.
There you go. All right. Well, that's fun. Cool. And that means now, Ben, it's your turn. And nice pick. Everyone's coming up with cool stuff today.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was going to say this won't cost you any money, but you're paying taxes to your library, so it is indirectly costing you money.
Mm-hmm.
It is a app called Libby. They are a service that your local library contracts to and gives you access to ebooks and audiobooks. I mean, depending on what kind of package the library gets, I actually had a pretty good found a pretty good selection through the app. Mm-hmm. I read the entire audiobooks of a certain wizarding world that shall not be named.
Mm-hmm.
It was years ago. I just find it a very good app that a lot of people don't know about and don't take advantage of.
Yeah, I think I picked this once ages ago as well. It is a superb service because here in the UK, most of our libraries are subscribed to this one. And you can get all those books.
Yeah.
I sent my, and if not, they used to be Overdrive. And I think Overdrive's pretty much gone away now. And it is Libby. No, it's called Libby now, is it? Oh, is it still Overdrive?
It is Overdrive, but
Libby. Yeah. But it's called Libby now, yeah. Because I got my lovely father-in-law hooked on this now because he's got this hooked up to the two libraries. He's a different libraries he's a member of, two different counties. And he goes cheerfully away there and he can get all manner of ebooks that way. And he's waded through some ridiculous quantity of books. He's a voracious reader, loves it. So, yeah, it's really great. Highly recommended. In terms of that's ebooks he goes for, but the audiobook side of things, I've used that service and it's great because you rent them, you get a loan, but this pressure's on you then to get it listened to in the 2-3 weeks that you've got it before, so someone else grabs it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you might have to wait a week or so before you'll get access to the next series if you're listening to a series rather than one individual book. Yeah, but otherwise, it's a superb service.
Yeah, and the cool thing about this is, I think, in 78 countries, including Austria, by the way, in Germany and so on.
Yeah,
nice.
So, like, this is not a US or UK thing. Like, this is literally everywhere. I mean, here, literally, in the city, it's not a it's not a public library, per se. It's the local kind of chamber of commerce, I think. They're providing it, but it doesn't matter. Like, you get it here.
Nice. Okay, so great picks all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
My pick.
Legos.
I'm actually forgoing Lego this week. But that's because I just feel bad about spending so much money for everyone with all these amazing kits. So instead, I decided to go with something that's topical for me. And it's super inexpensive. It's cable labels. So when you have to disassemble your home theater and your whole workstation setup, how do you keep track of all the different cables and what everything goes to? Cable labels. So it's basically like stickers that are tabs. And you can write on them, they're color-coded, and you just fold part of the tab over, and then it just sticks as like a little flag off of the cable. And the ones that I found have worked great for me. And so what I did, instead of putting a single tab on them, I have one on each end. So I know which cable goes with which device, but I don't have to trace cables to figure out what they go to. So like where all of my drives go into my hub, I can just look at the cable and I know which drive it's for. For my home theater, because it's like multiple HDMI cables, each end is labeled, so I know which cable is plugged into which HDMI port, and then what it's connecting to on the other end. And
that is quite a good idea.
It's
I have to say.
I mean, it's,
I'm just looking at the UK equivalent ones. It's not that sexy or exciting. I would feel that I'm in the Facebook group called the Dole Men's Club, and I feel it would fit perfectly into that environment, and all the better for it. That's all I can say. It is a good idea. That next time I recable, I might have to buy some of those.
Well, we know you have enough cables, so yeah,
I have boxes. You need to buy a couple packs. Boxes and boxes.
Yeah, the one that I picked up, it has 240 labels, and it has they're printer safe. So if you want to like have everything organized and print it all out instead of handwriting, shoot, they'll go right through your inkjet or your laser printer, no problem. Which actually would be really nice if you're like in a place where you have a lot of stuff to label. All right. Not quite as exciting, but super useful. And we've made it to the end of the show somehow, yet again. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me here every week on the Big Show on Thursdays and also on the Mac Show on Fridays if you're into the Apple side of things and you want to join that. You can find out everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the project, literally everything on my website, thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food and food-related memories and stories and just everything that goes with that, I have an interview show called Foodie Flashback, not the Big Show, even though we just talked a bunch about food in the beginning before the show. It's called Foodie Flashback and foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. And Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me usually here every Thursday. I'm away next week seeing Chris Hadfield, but this week I will be. Yeah, but every week, usually I'm here on the Big Show on a Thursday evening. If not, you can find me in the Slack room or on LinkedIn and other social media platforms as Ian Grant. I work for V. It's the easiest way to find me.
Awesome. Awesome. And Ben, where can people find you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me at Ben Rithig on your social media of choice, except for that blue sky thing. I'm not cool enough for that. Or am I too cool for that?
I think you're too cool.
Too cool, definitely.
Yep. You can also find me at Rithig, my website, rithig.tech. I have a brand new article up today about choosing whether to get the Mac Studio or the Mac Pro.
Nice. Make sure there's a link to that in the chat.
Yeah, I'm putting that right now.
Awesome. All right. Well,
you can also
go ahead. Continue.
You can also find me at Mac Voices on Tuesdays, In Touch with iOS on Thursdays, The Big Show on Fridays, or on Thursdays. And the Mac Show on Friday. You can just find me here. I just live in the British Tech Network. Patrice brings me onto the server when I'm needed.
There, sure. Yeah, there you go. Flip the switch. Oh, there's Ben.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Then for me, social media, Jay Gamut on everything, but look for me on Mastodon and Instagram. Then shows. Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS, then of course here on The Big Show, Fridays on The Mac Show, and then Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine, and I feel like I'm forgetting Did I do any extra shows this week? I don't think so. Anyhow, Google and you will find all kinds of stuff. I kind of get around. So with that, thank you to all of you for just being so awesome and being so patient and tolerant with me. As my brain is clearly melting down with my whole move. for those of you that don't know, which actually would be everyone until now, I got everything up and running for the show an hour early and then realized I'm an hour early.
Jeff, not Discord, but Mastodon knows.
Oh yeah, yes. because Ben, you're right on top of it and you're like, hey, join us on the show, and the show isn't starting for another hour. But no, you did follow it up with a false alarm.
That makes both of you just a little bit scatty.
Yes. Oh, Jeff, no, check Mastodon. I think you'll like it.
I'll go check Mastodon after we're done. Yes. Anyhow, so seriously, thank all of you for being so awesome and putting up with me. Oh, wow. All of you that watch or listen live, participate in the live chat, thank you for being here. You're all awesome. Every one of you that tunes in to the recordings, to watch or listen later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. TSO hosts, thank you for sponsoring us. Give them some online love, everyone. And Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, feel better. And thank you for making sure we have people for shows. Don't forget to join us next Thursday for the big show again. Also tomorrow for the Mac show. I can't wait to see what time I try and start that. And with that, everyone, have an awesome weekend.